Ladies and gentlemen, unseasonable and record cold temperatures descended across China and into South Korea during April, causing immense devastation to crops that we're only now beginning to appreciate. Here's a report out of China where the damage was so severe that locals were actually taking into the stores and loading up on grains as fast as they could get their hands on it. Take a look.
Central China's Henan province is the country's top wheat-producing province. Its annual yield accounts for more than 25% of China's wheat production. Recently, social media users in Anyang County of Henan Province notified one another that the local wheat production has seen a significant drop. Locals rushed to grocery stores to hoard grains. A cold snap in April could be one of the adverse conditions resulting in the drop of wheat production.
Could be one of the factors, yeah, those sub-zero temperatures and covered with snow as recently as April 10th. The harvest this year will suffer from the freezing cold, absolutely. But this wasn't just some Chinese freak social media. As you can see, it was actually legitimately freezing cold and covered in snow. But also, as I said, these cold temperatures extended into South Korea, where we can read that crops have suffered the lowest and the most damage from these sub-zero temperatures in the last decade. It's estimated, from the article, that the amount of damage to the crops this year is over 18,000 hectares. Here you see some of the sub-zero temperatures that they enjoyed. And the damage this year is more than twice the damage last year, and even worse than in 2018, which was the worst in the previous decade. In this regard, quote, "There are voices of concern that cold damage to crops is becoming an annual thing, a regular occurrence. This is because low temperature damage has occurred every year since 2018, and the magnitude of the damage is considerable and increasing." In fact, a new official was making it clear that his new position was that he will focus on supporting from the rapid recovery of low temperature disasters. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the shifting of the growing seasons and growing zones so that these people are no longer able to grow what they have been growing for the last 100-odd years during strong solar activity when we enjoyed relatively stable growing seasons. As you know, we're now in a deep solar minimum, which means we have a shrinking growing season, and fundamentally, the growing zones themselves are shifting. We're now just at the very forefront of solar cycle 25, which by NASA's own expectations is going to also be a diminutive one. In other words, we're going to continue in this trend of echoing the activity during the Dalton minimum when we saw tons of crop losses, terrible winters, and famine as a result of these things. And so you can see these growing zones. We've seen this happening around the world. You remember this headline from Italy and Spain, where they were calling out that there was frost damage in what was considered a formerly safe growing area. Ladies and gentlemen, we can't put this in any clearer words, and in fact, we quantified it when we looked at the growing degree days. IceAgeFarmer.com/GDD, for those of you in the U.S., you can quantitatively see that you had cold temperatures last year compared to the year before it. And that's resulting, of course, in smaller yields at best, and at worst, the inability to grow what you could grow before, like we just saw in South Korea, and in Spain, and in Italy, and in parts of the U.S., North Dakota last year. There are other major indicators that the Earth is going into a shifting of patterns, into a cycle that we haven't been in for hundreds of years now. We've talked before about the hunger stones that revealed themselves in Europe during the drought last year, where it said, hey, if the water gets down this low, you guys are in trouble. It's 1616 and some other previous dates when this had also occurred, when these stones were visible due to the low river levels that then resulted in famine. And so these were warnings etched in stone, delivered across time to us now, when we've lost these records and we've lost this awareness of solar cycles. But here's the warning crying out to us saying, hey, you need to heads up, guys. You're entering some difficult growing seasons. And if you depend on modern agriculture and your supermarket to eat, you shouldn't. You should start growing your own food. Other indications that precipitative patterns are changing, like the fact that there are trillions of locusts now, this year, decimating the food security of East Africa and into the Middle East. There are even swarms of locusts waking up from their slumber, right? They just lay eggs in the sand and it stays there until the rains come again. which could take hundreds of years in some cases, and that's what's happened. As these precipitated patterns are changing now, water is finally reaching these locust eggs and rehydrating them and bringing them back to life, and voila, we have these biblical swarms of trillions of locusts eating everything green in their path. It's stunning, but again, I put this out there both to underscore that these are more threats to our food security, secondary and tertiary effects of the solar activity, and then again, fundamentally, to demonstrate that these are massive changes that are taking place on our planet right now, and that we need to be taking this seriously. Of course, the cold temperatures were not just in China. Just this week in the U.S., we've had some crazy cold temperatures, in some cases record cold temperatures. Montana enjoyed 8 inches of snow. I use the word enjoyed a little liberally. And all of these things are having, of course, naturally, they're having effects on the availability of food, and thus the price of food. And so during 2020, when all of this has been exacerbated by the supply chain challenges in the coronavirus nonsense, food prices are just skyrocketing right now. We've seen rice itself jump 70% this year alone. This is staggering. And of course, when people can't afford food, you lose the stability on the streets. It is a thin veneer of civilization that we work with, ladies and gentlemen. And when people go hungry, that veneer dissolves quite rapidly. So this is a staple food for half of the world's population, and it's becoming increasingly unaffordable due to COVID-19 labor supply chain problems, right? Problems getting seasonal workers where they need to be for the harvest and due to stockpiling. Of course, there was also harvest issues in various parts of the world, and when those hit, those countries are more likely to stop exporting the rice or the goods that they do have in the interests of actually being able to feed their own people. How selfish of them, indeed, as the United Nations would call this rising horrific nationalism. No, it's natural. I want to be able to feed my family. I want to be able to feed my community. We need to be able to feed our country. And that's why Vietnam shut down. This is one of the world's biggest exporters of rice. And they shut down their export. They stopped feeding the rest of the world because they needed to be able to feed themselves as well. And of course, the virus has, like I said, has escalated that trend of food trade shutting down. We see India with similar stats, 70% of their exports of fruit and vegetables have just dropped off. And that wasn't due to a regulatory intervention. That's just because ports are closing, product can't get to market. So all of these things, between the natural cycles of the sun and their very real and formidable effects on our ability to produce food, combined now with this plandemic interfering with ports and trade routes and farmers producing food and getting it to market, all would seem to suggest that we should be taking steps as a nation to ensure the continuity of our food supply and the security of our people. Unfortunately, we're not doing that. We are focusing even more on this idea that even though there's thousands of people in the streets, and even though you can go to Walmart and buy your food, it's really dangerous for people to be harvesting food, and we need to get those people out of the fields right now. And I've been warning about this for upwards of months, but here is really confirming it as this is coming to fruition from Bloomberg. More food shortages are looming ahead as coronavirus outbreaks affect U.S. plants, 60 of them, and there aren't meat plants anymore. The county in Yakima County is a hub of agricultural activity where workers are jammed into crowded factories packaging apples, and that's why COVID-19 infection is probably the highest on the West Coast. It's a grim reality playing out across the country. COVID-19 is spreading now beyond the meat plants that have captured the national spotlight, but 60 food processing facilities with thousands of workers are being diagnosed despite being asymptomatic, and then they're shutting down the food production. This is just stunning. While the rest of the world, especially China, is taking steps to ensure that it has, you know, when they were locked down in February, they actually sent in the army to make sure that they planted rice, and they said explicitly, we have billions of bowls in our hands right now that we have to grow this food to feed our people. It's complete opposite here in the United States, where we've been taken over, where there's this color revolution going on right now, the cultural revolution, all this communist attempted takeover with people in positions of power agreeing to shutting down the food production, like Jay Inslee in Washington, who said, yeah, it's way too dangerous for us to harvest our food. Shut it all down. Let the cherries rot. in the fields of Washington. At the same time, there's pressure from, as I said, from all sides, the governors, the media, and these campaigns to shut down the meat factories and now the food production itself, from activists, United Farm Workers, and then Animal Rebellion trying to literally going out and attacking farms. At this point, Antifa has aligned with Animal Rebellion and is going out and with pamphlets and maps of all the places that animal agriculture is going on with the mission of attacking it and striking it down. So we're doing everything completely backwards of what we should be doing in the United States and in most of the Western countries right now. We should be doubling down on food production and making sure everyone is doing it and moving to a decentralized model where some people can have massive hailstorms, biblical, you know, all of these problems that we are experiencing and that are going to continue. If we decentralize, then we make all of our production more resilient and we get out of the line of fire. This single point of failure model, as we've seen with the meat plants, does not work. We cannot centralize control and power and food production in the hands of the government and these small number of companies, of huge companies that don't care about us. They're multinationals anyway. But there's a war going on right now. You know, we've seen these governors and the media that I was just describing say we're going to shut down food production. But then in response, we've seen Trump and his executive order, the Defense Production Act invoked, and the USDA and FDA combining forces to make sure that they have jurisdiction to go in and make sure that people are actually doing these harvests. So how that's going to play out, I don't know. It doesn't bode well. There's certainly no unified strategy of making sure that we have a victory garden in every American backyard, which would be, that's what I would do. That's what I'm saying you should do right now is start planting food, start growing plants that you can share with your neighbors, start all of those things right now and save the seeds because, A, they'll be better where you are next year. Seeds learn, they grow. And as well, we've seen attempts already to start criminalizing the acquisition of seeds, which is just unbelievable, but really betrays their true intentions, which is to starve us out into complete compliance with their agenda. Here is a letter from the OSU Extension in Knox County to local producers saying, we have received warnings that animal activist rights groups and animal terrorist groups like Animal Rebellion are joining forces with Antifa, is going out to farms in order to attack it. Please post no trespassing signs or arm yourself would be a better idea. We also saw reports that Antifa was being bussed around to Sparta. I'm going to have to make a video separately about this because there were a number of disinformation techniques employed, social media bot armies and hacked accounts that were laying out cover fire saying that this was happening and no, it wasn't. And then the mainstream media said this is all white supremacist groups that are claiming that they are Antifa attacking farms. So in a thick, dense cover, fog of war style of lies perpetrated by social media, hacked accounts, and by the mainstream media, underneath there are absolutely groups of people being bussed around to rural destinations testing the waters. And we saw reports, right, of Hell's Angels and other biker gangs joining forces not far from me in Placerville, California, to defend their small rural communities, saying, yeah, bring it, Antifa. You're going to come out here. We're going to meet you. And so I would posit that they are testing the waters. They're sending these buses. In most places, there haven't been violent conflicts. They've just sort of been there and sort of like been, you know, all nihilist. You know how they are. They just sort of sit there and like look weird and threatening. And then they left without actually causing any problems. They didn't even show up when Hell's Angels promised to be there. But they're certainly collecting data. And they're seeing where there's resistance and where there's not. And if small rural municipalities are responding, then they'll take it, as we just saw, straight to the farms. And so, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be prepared for that. You know, this is Beef Magazine. This isn't a conspiracy theory website or some crazy thing. This is actually happening right now. The mainstream media is actually telling you that it's not, and more concerningly, that it's white supremacists that are making the entire thing up. But here's Beef Magazine saying, yeah, these maps of all animal operations and farms in the United States have been assembled and they have been decimated to Antifa agents with instructions to go take out animals and burn barns down. So that's why Beef Magazine and OSU State Extensions, these aren't, again, this is really happening, are putting out warnings to ranchers and farmers saying that you need to be on guard right now. And I'm saying that you need to be standing ready. It doesn't matter if there's a gun behind every blade of grass, if they just stay there as communist infiltrators go out and burn down our farms, right? This is when we actually need, this is a call to arms to get out there and defend our food production. Animal Rebellion has been out there laying the case for this. And there have been cases in the past where Animal Rebellion has gone out called militant vegans, and they've done plenty of vandalism or throwing blood or breaking windows and burning things down, and they've attacked farmers and ranches in Australia and across Europe, and certainly here in the United States and Canada as well. Australia even started talking about trying to write legislation that would make it that would further criminalize it, that would heighten the penalty for attacks on the food system. So this is not a new thing, but it is absolutely, as are all of the agendas right now, kicking into high gear, and it is a part of this huge agenda to completely dismantle our food system as they stand up a new technocratic, transhumanist, fake food, fake lab meat, indoor-grown food. All of these things are playing out right now. And so, again, this is a call to arms. Align with your local farmers. You should be in touch with them anyway because they're growing food and they could probably use your help in doing that. And you could certainly use their food as the rest of the food system crumbles. So talk to those guys. Find out how you can help them. If you can defend them, get in touch with them. Just form those relationships. I'm not going to tell you what they're going to look like. And then again, fundamentally, start growing your own food. We all need to be doing this. We all have different skills and experiences and backgrounds that we bring to the table. We all have different spaces with resources that we can use to grow food or do whatever, you know, have animals, raise animals, whatever it is that moves the needle for you and your family, and then again, in turn, for your community. Do it now, because we are under full attack in these food wars. And the climate is changing rapidly as well. All of these things conspiring all right now. It's not a coincidence. This is when the Fabian socialists have decided it is their time to seize total control. And that's why we all need to be aware. That's what I'm doing. I'm trying to make sure we are all aware of this huge confluence of factors so that we can take the right steps to fight back. So folks, go get to work growing. Thanks for watching. Spread the word. And let's go build great things.